WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And welcome back to 90.7, the Capstone, the student section, college football. I'm your host, Elliot Miller, who I've actually been the host now a few more times as of late.
You have.
They might as well just make me the full-time host at this point, right?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
You know, I don't know what happened to the late Tanner Thompson here, but it's okay. I miss him. Tanner, if you're listening, we do miss you.
Yes, we do.
We miss our lovely host. But I'm here with my co-host, Graham Bacco. We are here to bring you more, I guess, I'm not really going to say exciting. I don't know if it's exciting. I guess that's up to interpretation.
We'll try to make it exciting for the audience.
I'd like to think that everything that I say is exciting, you know, but hey, again, subjective.
Right.
Let's jump right into it. I figured we should go with our two early rankings for next college football season of who we think is going to be good or not good. I will ask you, Graham, who is your projected number one team for the expanded 12-team college? I didn't even finish.
I mean.
Okay. Let's try this one again, okay? Let's try this again. Who is your number one team?
Number one team.
Stop interrupting me, man. What are we doing here, okay?
Repeating the question to myself.
You don't need to repeat the question to yourself.
Okay.
Who is your number one team for the 12-team college football playoff?
Georgia.
Okay. Why?
Because they are very dominant, and Kirby Smart has established a dynasty here at Georgia. As Alabama students, as much as we hate to say it, we got to accept the fact that, Georgia is starting to establish a dynasty. Kirby Smart is a amazing, incredible coach. He just is, and with the program he has just installed there, is incredible. They're unstoppable. I got to admit it. I mean, I got to give him props.
I don't know about unstoppable, because we stopped them.
Yeah, I agree. Look, we beat them, but
I don't know, man. I've seen a lot of flaws in Georgia's game as of late. I think, especially with the departure of Bowers, McConkie, offensive linemen, and Cedric Van Pran, I believe, Marius Mims.
But they just reload.
They just reload. Every team just reloads, okay? There's a certain time where that doesn't work anymore. And maybe it's that time right now.
Who's your number one team?
Oh, don't give me that quizzical look, okay? You are not the Quizzler, okay? that's not how this works, okay? So your baseline thing here is just they're dominant.
They are Georgia.
Georgia. They okay. Are Georgia so football. So what we used to say about Alabama back in the 2010s.
Yes.
Is okay, that's just Georgia now.
Yes. Georgia is the present day version of what Alabama was in
okay.
the 2010s.
All right. Sure. I mean, we can rock with that.
Yeah.
Okay. My number one team, as much as I do not like to admit it, okay?
Okay.
Is the Ohio State University Buckeyes.
Okay.
Okay. I get it. I understand. Ryan Day, generational choke artist. I'm well aware. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I am not a huge Ohio State fan either. I have no Big Ten allegiance whatsoever. However, in terms of talent acquired from the portal, I think that they have upgraded at almost every position except for their downgrade at center. No comment on that one any further. But I do think that Will Howard is an upgrade at quarterback.
No question.
I think that Quinshon Judkins is an upgrade at running back.
Yeah.
And certainly Caleb Downs is an upgrade at safety.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. So this team got better on both the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball. And let's not act like that they were like some team that you could just snooze at, okay? This is a solid team that really would just choke in the big moments at times, okay? However, I do think that they've gotten a kind of a cast of characters here. Probably will take that personally. That's probably not going to happen. And with Michigan probably going to go through a rebuilding phase here, the Big Ten, in my opinion, is absolutely absolutely wide open for Ohio State for the taking, okay?
Yeah.
I still don't believe in Penn State. I don't care how high people have them, okay? Mm-hmm. In my opinion, James Franklin is just Ryan Day light, even worse in the big game situation. So, Ohio State, this is Ohio State's for the taking. I think that they'll maintain. I would not be surprised if they went undefeated. Yep. In the regular season, I smell perhaps a Georgia loss, which I think would put Ohio State at the top of the pecking order. So Ohio State is my number one.
I guess it would depend, right? Because you have the strength of schedule. We have all these analytics that the committee looks at, right?
Yeah. So committee, Schmitty, okay. I don't listen to them.
Okay.
Okay, because it's a bunch of old heads who have no idea what they're talking about. They can claim analytics usage all they want. No, they don't. I know they don't, okay? They just put in who they want to put in, okay?
Well, but look, if Ohio State, right, they, I haven't looked at their schedule. I don't know if it's tougher than Georgia's or not, but just hypothetically, if Ohio State goes 12-0 pretty simply and with a not super great strength of schedule and Georgia goes 11-1, well, I guess 12-1 if you include SEC championship, with one tough loss to, let's say they lost to Texas on the road. All right, that's a very tough environment to go win at. All right, so if I'm the committee, I mean, I just look at the two teams and I also look at what Georgia's done. I think it might be one of those scenarios where you just maybe go off the eye test and maybe they would put Georgia over the Ohio State in that situation.
See, this is why I don't listen to the committee.
But do you just go based off, like, old-fashioned, I guess, BCS rankings where it's, like, the best?
BCS ranking is better than a bunch of old heads to decipher what they think is better or not. Yeah. At the end of the day, people can make the argument all they want with the Alabama-Florida State thing. Yes, Florida State had a terrible strength of schedule. Everyone knows that. Okay, Alabama's was a lot more difficult. However, at the end of the day, nobody wanted to watch the backup quarterback play in the college football playoff. Clearly was not prepared. Clearly was not ready. Definitely the lights would have been too bright. Okay, that was a judgment call. I agree with the decision, not because I'm an Alabama fan, but just from a football perspective.
Right.
Okay. Nobody wanted to watch that. Okay. No. That just wasn't going to happen. And the fact that there was even a discussion, a debate that had to be had over that probably told you it was going to be Alabama instead of Florida State. That's just the reality of the situation. Right. I do not care if Georgia loses on the road to Texas. When is that week? One, two? Or something like that?
I thought it was in the middle of the season.
I thought it was early on. I could be wrong. I just completely made that up in my mind. I have no idea if that's right or wrong. Check that one for me real quick.
Okay, yes. Middle of the season, October 19th.
Okay, sure. Middle of the season. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Does it matter when it is in the season? We were arguing, we lost to Texas early on. It's not really the true team or whatever. Everyone's going to frame an argument to make it fit their narrative, and that's fine, okay? But I just disagree. I think in this case, the Big Ten is the only other, I would say, massively challenging conference outside of the SEC. The ACC has some merit. Last year, not really. No. That was a very bad down year for the ACC.
Real bad year.
So, I mean, the ACC is still up there, but in terms of, which conferences run college football, that's definitely the SEC and the Big Ten.
For sure.
I am not going to take a 12-1 SEC champion and say that they are definitively better than a undefeated Big Ten champion. That's just not going to happen.
Okay.
So, who is your number two, then?
Ohio State.
You're out here acting like that I said something blasphemous or something about Georgia. How could you put them that high?
I just think
that sounds like the Michigan State fan in you talking.
No, look. No. What? Okay. The Michigan State fan in me would go Big Ten.
That's not true.
Yeah.
That's absolutely not true.
It's just from a Michigan State fan perspective.
I'm sure
you would
take every chance
Big Ten
to slight them.
No, as a Michigan State fan, we don't hate Ohio State at all. We hate Michigan. We don't like Ohio State.
That's like that's like
but
me saying
Michigan is our huge is our biggest rival.
That's like saying as an rival. Alabama fan, okay? You know, I despise Auburn. I don't like Tennessee. But you know what? You know what?
Well,
Kentucky,
no.
They're all right. I mean, we don't hate them. They're a division rival. That's like me as a Steelers fan saying, I just hate the Browns and the Ravens. But you know what? Those Bengals, they're all right.
I mean, look, I'm not...
I'm indifferent.
No, I'm not saying that we are indifferent. We certainly don't like Ohio State. Michigan State certainly doesn't like Ohio State. That's for sure. But we have a great disdain for the school of Michigan.
Okay, Michigan is not even the topic of conversation. They're not even sniffing this list. Okay?
I know. I'm just saying. I'm just...
Get into why Ohio State's number two, man. Anyway. Get into why they're under number two.
Anyway, Ohio State better win the Big Ten. They better win the Big Ten this year. Ryan Day, if you don't win the Big Ten this year, especially with all the additions you got, that's very disappointing, all right? And look, all their additions were absolutely incredible, and they certainly upgraded on multiple different positions. Look, Ohio State's a really good team. I really think the way that one of the things that separates Georgia and Ohio State for me is the coaching. I just think Kirby Smart and his coaching and his development of his team and his players is better than Ryan Day and what he does. And also, I think when it gets down the stretch of the season, and especially in the bigger games, postseason games, I trust Kirby Smart way more than I ever trust Ryan Day. I just do.
Okay.
That's the biggest separator for me between Georgia and Ohio State.
Okay. That's fine.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I'd have to assume your number two is Georgia, right?
You would be incorrect. My number two are the Oregon Ducks.
What?
My number two is the Oregon Ducks.
Really?
Let me tell you why, okay? And I'll get into this more later whenever I do eventually get to Georgia, which we'll get to at some point here, obviously, during this show. But if my memory serves me properly, Oregon is joining the...
Big Ten.
Big Ten.
Big Ten.
Yes. I think that Oregon is the team that finishes second to Ohio State.
They better. Yeah, they better.
But at the end of the day, they'll have the similar record to what I think Georgia will wind up as. But because they lose to the number one team, they are number two. Okay?
Huh.
Now, part of this is because Oregon built a really solid team last year. Obviously, they lose Bo Nix. They'll lose a couple other players. Yeah. Jackson Powers Johnson. I think they're losing Troy Franklin.
Yeah, they're losing a lot.
They're losing a few.
Well, Bo Nix. They're losing Bo Nix.
I said Bo Nix.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was like the first person
okay,
I said.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, okay, they picked up Dylan Gabriel to replace Bo Nix. I think he will fill in absolutely okay. And I think another unsung hero here, they plucked Jabbar Muhammad out of Washington for their secondary. I think that Oregon, they were solid last year. They're going to be solid again, okay? And by far, I think that they probably clear every team in the Big Ten besides Ohio State and maybe the argument at Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Oregon finishes second, no contest. And so as a result, I think I do have them losing. I don't know how the Big Ten championship's going to work. I don't know what they're doing with the conferences and all that with the realignments. But I would imagine
there's not going to be division.
Okay, there's no more division. It's just one and two, right?
It's just.
So I would imagine that Oregon probably loses to Ohio State in the Big Ten championship. But I would still have Oregon as my number two.
Which, by the way, what a heck of a championship game that would be, because we've seen Oregon Ohio State very recently in the regular season, and Oregon won at Ohio State. Granted, it's different teams, but it's just very interesting. I think that matchup's going to start to sort of become a little rivalry.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, Oregon, it's my number two.
Number two, okay.
It's my number two.
Wow, that is surprising. I have to admit.
Okay, so I figure before we head to a break here, and whenever we continue, let's get through our number threes.
Okay, I'll go with Clemson. Probably.
That's crazy.
Probably, I guess, Clemson at number three.
That's insane. That is insane. I just want to let you know, you were telling me that my one and two are crazy. That is insane, having Clemson three.
I'm not.
That is diabolical.
I haven't thought about the exact order here, but I do think Clemson's going to win the ACC, and also your conference champions are going to get major, like, automatic – you know, higher seeds. It's what top three, top four, top five or whatever, right?
I think it's top five, right.
So, you know, ACC champion. I feel like Clemson, people forget that Clemson, all of a sudden, they started to play really well during the back half of the season.
Define really well.
Well, I'm especially talking about their defense. Their defense did pick it up during the back half of the season going into the bowl game. And in the bowl game against Kentucky, they shut them down toward the end of the game. They got all the key stops that they needed. So, I just like Clemson to win the ACC. And they probably should get a very, maybe not undefeated, but maybe one. I haven't looked at their schedule. Maybe one loss. So, yeah, they could easily wind up as a 12-1 team there at number three.
Okay.
Wouldn't surprise me.
So I'm trying to think here. They're considering their Big Four, their power conferences, the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12, right?
Yes.
Those are the four that are getting the automatic. Are they even considering?
Well, no. It's just the big. Yeah, it's just the top. Yeah,
it's just those four, right? Four. They're not considering the AAC or anything like that. Okay.
Well, it's the highest. It's the best group of five conference champion. So like the AAC, the Mountain West, all those guys are sort of grouped together, and whoever has the best record out of the group of five champions is an automatic bid for that. But they're going to be they're going to be like the 11 or 12 seed or whatever, depending on what they are.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Yeah. So okay. So it's not. I just want to make sure when we're doing this ranking, it's not that the top, like the four conference champions or whatever, or I guess the five. They're not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's not the case, because clearly, like, if you win the AAC, you should not probably be in the top five.
Well, the four major conferences are 1, 2, 3, 4.
Is that guaranteed? Did they say that that's guaranteed?
Yeah, like the format is you have your major conference champions, and then you have your
But they say major conference champions, which they get the automatic bid, but does that mean they automatically are given the slots 1, 2, 3, 4? Or are they just saying, you get the bid, you're number 8, you get the automatic bid?
Yeah, looking at all these like projections and stuff, yeah.
Okay, well, that's based on a projection. I'm asking concrete...
Well, the projections are formatted so that it has like the major conference champions.
Okay, so you're telling me that the four conference champions have to go 1, 2, 3, 4?
Yes, that's what these are formatted to be, yeah.
Okay, so that's what they're doing. I was not aware of that, okay? Which means that I can't have Oregon at 2 because I'm having them lose to Ohio State. So that means Oregon, I guess they are my number 2, but they're my de facto 5, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes it difficult to sort of order these, I guess, with the champions and stuff. But, yeah, that's what they're doing. But, yeah.
You know what? Screw that. I'm listing my top 12 teams, okay? I don't care what order they're in. Yeah, I will have my four conference champions in there, okay?
Okay.
Okay? I'm actually giving you my top 12 teams. I don't care about their weird format that they're doing, okay?
Yeah, maybe not think about the order too much.
I'm not thinking about the order too much.
Yeah, let's not think about the order too much here. Just your top 12 overall team. Okay.
All right. My number 3.
Okay.
Do you have a prediction real quick on what my number 3 is?
Are you trying to fake me out here and like go in like a random order?
I'm not going in a random order. I'm giving you my top teams.
Okay. I feel like you're going to say Georgia or Texas here.
You have a feeling I'm going to say Georgia or Texas.
It would have to be.
It would have to be. What if I didn't have one of those two?
I'd be surprised.
That'd be surprising. Yeah, well, unfortunately, you are correct. It is one of those two teams.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to go with the much maligned University of Texas.
Wow.
Who I actually think will be the SEC champion.
Wow.
Okay. I understand they're losing A.D. Mitchell. They're losing Worthy. They're losing Jonathan Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
Couple other players. However, Quinn Ewers is returning. Yeah. I am a big Quinn Ewers believer.
Yep, me too.
I think he is by far and away probably one of the best QBs in college football right now, even in next year. I think he would have gone pretty high had he declared for the draft this year too. At the end of the day, I think Texas has a really solid coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're well coached.
Yeah.
I think they have a really good quarterback who probably clears almost every other quarterback, especially in the SEC. And I think, especially with the recruiting that Sark has done, with their recent success, they will. I forgot they took Isaiah Bond from us.
Yes.
Okay, so taking Isaiah Bond from Alabama, you have a suitable replacement for A.D. Mitchell and Worthy
for sure.
So, you know, Texas, let's point out, they're not going to play Alabama. They're not playing Auburn. They're not playing LSU. And they're not playing Ole Miss. And those are probably the – probably besides Georgia, those are probably some of the toughest outs.
Right.
Or whatever. So this is a pretty clear path to the SEC championship based on how they performed last year. Based on everything, I do think that they win.
So do you think that they will beat Georgia at home?
I actually would predict that they beat Georgia this year.
Okay. But then, if you make it to the SEC championship, it's very, very likely you're probably going to have to play Georgia. There's a good, or at least there's a very good chance you still have to play Georgia. Do you think you would
Lightning
beat Georgia?
Lightning strikes twice in the same spot sometimes.
What?
Lightning strikes
think,
twice in the same spot.
You think they beat
sometimes.
Georgia twice?
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a bold prediction.
It's not a bold prediction. It's not ridiculous at all. When I get into my Georgia analysis, we'll get more into that. Okay. Anyway, I think this is a good stopping point for a quick little break. We will be back momentarily. Welcome back. You're listening to 90.7, the student section on the Capstone, college football in particular. Before our break, we were talking about who are top 12 teams in college football. Way too early, by the way. However, we have a little bit of a disagreement on the list. It appears that Graham is going Georgia 1,
yeah.
Ohio State 2, Clemson 3. I, on the other hand, went Ohio State 1, Oregon 2, University of Texas 3.
I just don't bet against Kirby Smart.
You don't bet against, that's the most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard you say in your time here.
Are we positive that
you haven't filed your transfer paperwork to Georgia already?
Let me finish. Unless Kirby Smart's playing Nick Saban, I'm not going to bet against Kirby. I'll bet against Kirby Smart.
The brother has had success just here as of late.
Right, I mean, over the past few
That doesn't
years.
Mean I'm not I'm never going to bet against the guy. You know, like people don't bet against Mike Tomlin. Why? Because he hasn't had a losing season for like 17 years. Okay?
Yeah.
People didn't bet against Nick Saban. Why? Cuz he won that many championships in like 20 years.
Yeah.
Okay? Kirby Smart is not at that level, respectfully.
No, I'm not saying
he's a great coach.
No, yeah.
He's
not
an outstanding coach, but
I'm
not going to bet against him is a crazy take.
How's that a crazy take?
That's a crazy take
at
this juncture.
You just said he's an incredible coach.
He's an incredible coach, but he is not at that status yet.
I'm not saying he's at that status yet.
Saying that you're never going to bet against him is a crazy take.
I don't think it's crazy to say.
They've proven
over these past few years here. They are very, very good.
They're good.
Very disciplined, very well coached.
They're very good.
They're very dominant as well.
They're a very good team.
Look, here's the thing. I think if we had, I guess we could say six teams or whatever, more than four teams in the playoffs last year, do you not think Georgia would be the betting favorite in that?
I would have picked Michigan.
You would pick Michigan?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though I think Georgia was favored against like all four of the playoff teams.
Yeah, I don't care. Would have taken Michigan.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I would have taken Georgia.
Well, you know what? I don't listen to the odds makers.
Interesting.
Okay.
Interesting take.
Not an interesting take. It's kind of like, let's go back to another example. Why do people, they're like, if Patrick Mahomes gets the ball with less than a minute left, why do people not bet against Patrick Mahomes? Because that guy has never once failed. That dude, ever since he got in the league, on fire, okay?
Yeah.
Kirby Smart has had to build it up. He's had a lot of success. He is not at that level yet.
I'm not saying he's Nick Saban yet, but I'm just saying.
You basically are. You're like crowning him already.
No, I'm not.
You already went to Walmart and bought the baby tiara, okay?
No, I'm
like
not.
What?
No, I'm not. I'm just look in this college football world. Look, I just think that the way Kirby Smart has coached his teams over these past couple years, it's very clear that look, Georgia has been very close to unstoppable. Other than Nick Saban, other than Alabama taking him down, that's his championship. If it wasn't for that, Georgia was going to be number one.
I've seen a lot of close shaves with Georgia. Okay, they won all their games, but they're squeaking it out against Mizzou. They're squeaking it out against South Carolina.
They won by two scores against Mizzou.
Yeah. If the dude didn't throw an interception on the 14-yard, he was about to go tie it up and take the lead probably. Okay?
You can't guarantee that.
No, you can't guarantee that, but it's poor decision-making on the other teams. I'm not even going to attribute that to outstanding coaching. That's almost more poor coaching on the other side of the ball. Okay? Just because he's a better coach doesn't mean you got to crown him holier than thou. Sure. I'm just saying respectfully he is not at that level yet, and I will bet against him if I have to.
Okay.
So who is your number four then?
Are we doing this? Are we doing what the format here with the champions?
No, I thought we said earlier that
we're
not
doing Texas. I'll go to Texas.
Okay.
I'm like you said, I'm also a big Quinn Ewers believer, and I just think what Sarkisian has done with that team and what Quinn Ewers is doing, I really like Texas. They're gonna challenge in the SEC for sure. They're gonna compete.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, my number four. I'm trying to think here. What is going to be like the least offensive thing here to say? Because I don't know if you're going to like this or not. I don't know if you're a fan. If you're going to be a fan of this pick.
Why? Why would I not be a fan?
What do you think this pick is? Let me just
don't you dare say Michigan.
Not saying.
Okay.
Michigan's not even sniffing this list, man.
Okay. Okay. Good. I don't know. I don't know what would offend me.
Well, I'm not. What do you think my pick is?
I have no idea.
Without getting some awful visceral reaction out of you, what do you think it is?
Utah? I don't know.
Utah? No. Okay. It is not Utah.
I'm just guessing teams, man.
My number four.
Okay.
Is Ole Miss.
Ooh.
Wow.
The Rebels. Okay.
Wait. So in your top, so you got, wait. You haven't even, have you named Georgia yet?
No, I haven't.
Whoa.
I have Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Ole Miss.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
As much as I am a Quinn Ewers believer, I am also a Jackson Dart believer. Okay. Jackson Dart is a very good quarterback. And quite frankly, the only other quarterback that I will definitively tell you he is probably worse than is Quinn Ewers at this juncture right now. I get that they lost Judkins, okay? But they got so many players on defense out of the transfer portal. And Lane Kiffin said, you know, who beat up on Penn State in the Peach Bowl, might I add, okay? Oh, they didn't just beat them. They shellacked Penn State.
Yeah, they crushed.
Okay, so they lose Judkins, but he said, you know what? We need to be beefier on the defensive side of the ball. Okay, I got a list here of players that they got: Walter Nolan from A&M, Princely Umanmielen from Florida, Chris Paul Jr. from Arkansas. They also added former Washington starters Julius Boileau and Nate Kalepo on the offensive line. Okay. That is pretty impressive. So, yes, you lose a little step on your running back. With them, they don't need to be a run-first team. They have Jackson Dart. They have a bunch of pass catchers. They don't have to focus around a run game. They got better on defense. They got better on the offensive line, better protection. I think that they're going to be a formidable team to face.
Yeah, I mean, that's – I don't know if I would put them that high. But, look, to me – I could kind of equate Ole Miss as a better version of Penn. Like, they're kind of like the Penn State of the SEC in a sense where they beat everyone else except winning the big games against the Alabamas and the Georgias, those types of teams.
They've kept it close against Georgia.
They got whacked by Georgia.
Well, they've kept it close in the past before. I'm not talking about the last particular instance that they played them, okay? That was an anomaly. But didn't Dart get hurt in that game?
Did he?
He might have.
I can't remember. Here, let's check the
I don't know. He might have. He might not have. Maybe I'm thinking of a different game. But
Sanders came in the game late. I guess he might have. But it was later in the game when Sanders came in. But, I mean, look, Georgia whacked him by almost 40.
That game was an abysmal. That was an anomaly. Okay, that doesn't happen. But all of these teams have had a game like that.
Yeah.
Before, that's nothing new. Okay, so.
Well, I mean, Penn State has kept it close with Ohio State. Saying
that they're the Ohio State or not, saying that they're the Penn State of the SEC is a bit disrespectful in my opinion. But that's just because I think that Lane Kiffin cleared James Franklin as a coach.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's disrespectful.
It's definitely disrespectful because I do not think James Franklin is that great of a coach.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying from a coach. Yeah, of course, Lane Kiffin's a better coach than James Franklin.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, in the sense that Ole Miss beats every single team in the SEC except the top two teams, just as Penn State does every year. With Ohio State and Michigan, they don't beat.
Yeah, but the problem is that, you know, Ole Miss will actually show up, like, in postseason play when they do play people. Penn State still does not, okay?
Well, I mean, Penn State won the Rose Bowl 2 years ago.
Oh, they won the Rose Bowl. Who did they play?
Utah.
And was Utah very good?
Granted, that was a game Cam Rising, you know, had his injury.
And the one time that, you know, Penn State actually decides to show up and play in the Peach Bowl, what happened when they played the head-to-head, the equivalent Penn State?
Took them out
to the woods. No, not even close.
Yeah,
not even close.
Yeah, course,
whatever.
Miss,
you know what? Give me your number five, man.
The SEC's better than the Big Ten.
Give me your number five, man.
We'll go with Oregon at number five.
Disrespectfully low.
I don't know.
So disrespectfully low.
I just think that you're going to have, between this top five, you're going to have a lot of maybe zero and one loss teams. And you're going to have to sort them out somehow. And it could come down to strength of schedule, eye test, maybe, you know, eye test and then whatever other analytics that you want to use. So I feel like someone's probably going to have to, you know, be at number five. And obviously, if Ohio State wins a Big Ten, Oregon can't get a top four spot anyhow, right? So, yeah, that's why I put Oregon at number five. They're a really good team. Dan Lang's a great coach. And, you know, but like you said, they lost a lot. But they got Dylan Gabriel, and I really like Dylan Gabriel, and I think he could fit that Oregon offense
I think Dylan Gabriel's kind of mid, but, I mean, that's just my own personal opinion. I just think that he's a suitable replacement for Knicks.
He's not a bad replacement at all.
He's like a similar player. Old.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess.
Bounce around.
I guess that's kind of.
Has experience like with a bigger
conference. I guess that's what
conference.
Dan Lanning's looking for here. I don't know.
No. Okay. Well, my number five, okay. Who do I go with on this one? I mean, there's so many teams that I could pick from. But, you know, I guess I got to show them a little bit of respect, okay, because people are going to be upset with me if I don't say their name in the top five, okay? I am obviously talking about the Georgia Bulldogs, okay?
Why are you so reluctant? You're like, you're acting like you're forced
to. I almost wanted
to
put them six, actually, if I was being honest.
Man.
Yeah.
This
is not Kirby Smart hate whatsoever. They are losing a lot of players. And in my opinion, Carson Beck is more of a product of the team around him than he was actually being the guy that was influencing the team. Ewers elevates the team. Dart elevates the team. I think, in a sense, probably Will Howard is in a situation at Ohio State where he's elevated by his team to a certain degree. Dylan Gabriel probably is elevated a little bit by the team, but he also helps about a bit. Beck, does not move the needle that much. I think he's good. I think he's very serviceable.
Yeah.
But I don't see anything super special that everyone talks about. And that's just me personally, though. And I'm not like some expert talent evaluator. I think they're in a rough spot. You know, they got Trevor Etienne? You know, he got arrested for
whatever he
was doing. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
They're having some issues there. They're losing Bowers. They're losing McConkie. They're losing Van Pran. They're losing Mims. They're losing so many players. They retool. I don't know if these guys are going to be any good. I really don't. Because a lot of these guys that are leaving now, these guys that were recruits whenever they were in their heyday.
Yeah.
Okay, of doing really well. I'm not sold on them. They could be higher. They could be lower. But in the current state right now, you know, like the big fish of transfers, we have character problems, okay? We have not just character problems, we have like law, like, services problems.
Legal.
Yeah. Legal issues, okay? The jury is out on that, okay? So, you're number six.
Well, hold on. Let me just push back a little on that.
We are taking way too long in this topic.
No, hold on, hold on. I just want to talk about this.
You talked about Georgia. You glazed them for like a solid 4 minutes earlier.
I was just going to say, I feel like we talked about something similar to this last year, where we had so many Georgia players go to the draft and like, oh, yeah, you know, Georgia, I don't know if they could do it again. Then
I thought that they could do it again. I had them in my top thing because they still on offense. They still had Bowers. They still had McConkey.
Okay.
Those guys are gone now.
Okay.
Who is their offensive playmaker right now? Who? Name them. Well, oh, even Rosemead Jack Saint is gone.
I was gonna say Etienne's, he got arrested, but
yeah, but Jack Saint is gone. McConkey's gone. Bowers is gone. Etienne was arrested. Who?
Name them
without looking them up.
No, I'm gonna be honest. I can't right now. I haven't looked at their roster.
Exactly. That tells me all you need to know.
Anyway,
number six.
My number six. Wait, who have I not? I can't remember who I've said already. Here, we'll just go with my Big 12 champion, which is Utah. I really like, again, no particular order here, but yeah, I like Kyle Whittingham, and we gotta remember that Cam Rising's back now.
Great, man. He's back for his 10th season?
Yeah. It feels like he's been there forever.
It's gotta be seven.
Six or seven.
It's gotta be like six or seven.
Yeah. I've just always been a big fan of Coach Whittingham, and I think Cam Rising is a really solid quarterback.
He's mid.
I think he's a really solid quarterback.
He's a bona fide undrafted quarterback. He's old. He's like all right, I guess.
Compared to college, the age of college athletes, he's like a dinosaur going into his seventh
year. A dinosaur. I guarantee you, no disrespect to him whatsoever, he's probably going to get hurt again this season.
Well, you don't know that. Well, we can't hope for that.
I'm not hoping for it. I'm just saying likely going off of past trends, okay?
Look, when he's...
He puts himself in a lot of danger. His offensive line doesn't protect him well, okay?
Yeah.
It's a recipe for disaster.
I don't know. I've just always been a big fan.
Sometimes the heyday is over, man. Okay?
And look, Utah's defense is also really solid. And if you're in the Big 12... Remember, they're moving to the Big 12 now.
They're moving to the Big 12, so their defense is going to get worse.
Why would it get worse?
Because they don't play defense in the Big 12.
Right, so if you have a really good defense,
they're going to get worse. Just by virtue of being in the Big 12.
No, but I'm saying if you have a really good defense playing against teams that don't play defense, at least you actually have a defense.
Can they score?
Utah, they can. Especially when
they score?
When you're playing against teams that don't really play all that much defense, you're going to score.
The Pac-12 is no better than the Big 12 when it came to defense.
I think the Pac-12 defense is a little better.
Oh, okay. That's like saying that trash is better than garbage. Are you serious? This is such a minute difference.
I don't know.
This is a moot point. If you can't score, it doesn't matter how good your defense is.
I feel like...
An offense who would normally score on every single drive will now score only 80% of the time on them. But if an offense that only scored 40% of the time can now score 50% of the time, that doesn't help you any.
I mean, look, I feel like if you have a solid defense playing against Big 12 defenses, I think you're going to have the ability to score enough. I just do. I think your defense.
I don't know if 25 points a game or something is going to be enough.
It could be.
Not in the Big 12. You need to have like 45 plus.
I don't think.
Those are always shootouts. Utah, I don't think, is built as a shootout team.
I just don't know, look with their defense, I just don't. Okay.
Before we head to break,
I'd be surprised if they allowed 40 plus a game.
Before we head to break, I'm going to give my number six because we're running low on time, okay? I'm going to give you my Big 12 champion, okay? Which by far and away clears Utah, okay? Give me Rock Chalk, the Kansas Jayhawks, okay?
What?
That's who I want as my 12 champion, okay?
Wait, you're making a prediction right now on April 11th, 2024, the Kansas Jayhawks are going to the college football playoff.
The Kansas Jayhawks are winning the Big 12, okay?
7:45 p.m. Central Time on April 11, 2024.
Book it.
You were predicting the Kansas Jayhawks go to the playoffs.
Book it.
Really?
Book it.
Are you kidding?
Jalen Daniels. Two words. That's it. That's all I need to tell you. Kansas showed signs
of... We can say the same thing about his health. He gets
we
hurt
could,
a lot.
Except he clears Cam Rising.
I don't think so.
Yes, well, he does. Oh, okay, don't even give me that. He absolutely clears Cam Rising, okay? They showed signs of life at all year last year. They were a surprise, okay? And they kind of fell off when he got hurt, but they still showed that they could battle. They kept it close even with their backups. Their backup threw like 9 passes. He completed 0 of them, and they were still managing to like stay
about,
in games.
Talking about Bean?
Yeah.
Bean originally when he got there was a starter. He's had a lot of starting experience.
I understand that, but the brother was like 0-for-9. He threw a couple picks, okay? And they still somehow were in those games, okay?
Wow.
I believe in the Kansas Jayhawks in the Big 12. I think they can score.
Holy moly.
I think they can play defense, okay? Give me the Kansas Jayhawks.
Kansas Jayhawks
as my number 6, okay?
I just
on that fire note, let's head to break. I think we're due up for a break. So you guys can process that information.
Okay.
Welcome back. You're listening to 9.7, the student section, college football. You know, we just got back from a break, okay? And you know, quite frankly, my co-host here, Graham, he was telling me how ridiculous it was that I had Kansas at 6. And quite frankly, I might even put him at 5 above Georgia. Because you know what? He was pointing out to me, bless you,
insane.
Graham, because you were telling me about the format and that the conference champions would get the higher bid. You're absolutely correct. I don't even have Georgia as my champion for the SEC. So yeah, Kansas would slide up in front of them. So you're justifying my point exactly. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Who is your number 7?
Well, time out. What did you say? Kansas is better than Georgia?
I think maybe in relative, whenever you're talking about like in terms of their conference, sure. Because I think Kansas will win their conference. I don't think Georgia is going to win theirs.
No, but Kansas and Georgia on a football field, who wins the game?
I don't know. I think it could be a pretty close game. It'd be pretty nice.
Oh, my gosh.
Neutral field?
Oh, my gosh.
Is it a neutral field?
Yeah. Put them in the – where the Big Ten – put them in, like, Lucas Oil Stadium, somewhere neutral.
Okay. I mean, I think it'd be a pretty close game. Georgia probably wins, but
– Probably.
Yeah, they probably
win. Yes,
they
would.
No, I would say probably. There's a chance for everything. You said it earlier. Yeah. Anything can happen.
Okay. That's crazy. Anyway.
Hey, how about you get your number 7?
We'll go with Ole Miss here at number 7.
Disrespectfully low.
Disrespectfully low, man. How is that disrespectfully low?
Because it's really low. That's why.
Again, I need to see Ole Miss. Look, okay, yes, they beat Penn State. Whoopee, congratulations. You beat a overrated Big Ten team in a bowl game. Congratulations.
Spoken like a true Michigan State fan.
I got to see them. I want to see Ole Miss win the big game.
Okay.
Against, you know, like Alabama, Texas, Georgia, those types of teams.
Okay. Fair enough. My number 7, ACC champion.
Okay.
Florida State.
Okay.
Taking Florida State with DJ Uiagalelei. They were obviously
– You're a believer in DJ Uiagalelei.
I'm not a believer in him, but I think the ACC stinks. I don't think they're very good. I am a believer in the fact that Florida State will take it personally that they felt that they were snubbed last year. And they'll make it a point to try to prove it to everyone that they belonged. I do think that they will win the ACC probably quite handily.
Okay.
So that are my number 7.
Okay.
You're number 8.
You know what? Maybe it's a little crazy because we don't really know yet. But I guess we'll go with Alabama.
That's crazy.
I guess we'll go with Alabama. That's crazy. You know, again, this is way too early, okay? It's way too early, but...
Way too early.
And maybe it's a little too low. Maybe they should be more like in the 10 range or something,
yeah,
but...
It's way too high. Just get to the point, man.
Anyways, yeah, I don't know. I just think Jalen Milroe in the new offense, it's going to look completely different than last year, but... I think he could. He definitely has the ability to succeed in this new offense. And look, given Alabama's schedule, they could go. They should probably.
Thank you for listening to 90.
They should probably go. Hopefully, no worse than 10-2. So if you're at 11-1, 10-2, that gives you a really good chance to be right there in that 8-9 range. So that's where I got Alabama.
Yeah, sorry about that technical difficulty, everyone. It seems like The timer in here is like it's multiple minutes ahead, and it seems like it automatically plays a stinger at what they think is the top of the hour in the system, when it's in fact not the top of the hour.
Yeah.
So, apologize for that. Anyway, just wanted to clear that up. Okay. So Alabama number eight. Okay. My number eight. Okay. My number two in the Big 12.
Okay.
The Arizona Wildcats.
Really?
Yes. By far and away, one of the most pleasant surprises of college football last year. Okay, I understand that Jed Fish is gone.
Right.
Okay, however, Noah Fifita looks like he's going to take a he's going to ascend a bit. Okay. They kept their wide receiver, McMillan, seems pretty good. So they lost some players. I think that they got some players. So I do think in a Big 12, you know, talking about scoring points, Arizona can certainly score points.
Right.
Okay, no doubt about that. I think that they can win almost any shootout that you point at them. So my number eight, Arizona. Your number nine.
Okay. Look, I know you're going to clown me on
it. I'm going to clown you on it because I already know this is going to be an atrocious take.
I'm just looking at their schedule. I'm like, man, they can really win a lot of games here. And then we've talked about them. We trashed them earlier, but... And again, maybe this is a little too high, but Penn State.
Dude, get out.
I'm looking
get out of the booth, man. Hang up.
I'm looking at their schedule, and I'm thinking, man, they can win. They could easily win 10 games here. Not saying they're going to win any if they get to the playoffs.
Hang it up, man.
Not saying they're going to win any if they get
to
the playoffs.
Hang it up.
But, look.
Just retire already.
I think Penn State, they could, with their schedule, I think they have the capability to get in the playoff, to sneak in.
Okay. Well, sure. My number nine, Mizzou.
Okay.
I'm taking Mizzou. I think that they have to replace a couple players, but I really do think that the way that they are coached is very conducive to winning. Especially, you know, they keep it close against, like, Georgia there, you know, especially last year, despite not really playing, like, I would say super well. Made a couple bad mistakes, which really lost them the game. But I think, like, Mizzou is a very good, like, I would say mid to high tier SEC team. Probably at this juncture, I can see them being there in the mix with the big dogs.
Okay.
So, number 10 for you.
Yeah, I guess we could go with Arizona. I really like Noah Fifita, and I really like how he could put up points in a hurry. And we saw that in the bowl game against Oklahoma. They were losing in the blink of an eye. They're up two, three scores, whatever it was. So, yeah, I really like Arizona.
Yeah, okay. My number 10, I'm going to go with a perennial overrated team in the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're okay. They're good. How about you guys just join a conference already?
Yeah.
Kind of sick and tired of you guys being, like, independent. You know, you guys are all right. You know, they did get Riley Leonard. So I do think that will be an improvement. They do lose their tackles. So I'm not really sure about protecting him. But I think that they will take a bit of a step. I know that they had some offensive struggles at times.
Mm-hmm.
I think Riley Leonard rectifies some of those problems, but not fully. So I have him at 10. I think that they have the potential to be probably in the 7 to 8 range.
Yeah.
That's probably the highest I would go on them, though.
Yeah.
You're number 11.
Notre Dame. Yeah.
Okay.
Very similar reasons.
Probably for all the reasons that I just said.
Yeah.
Okay. My number 11, I'm going to do the Alabama Crimson Tide at number 11.
Okay.
I don't have them as a top 10 team yet. I need to see how DeBoer's system works with Alabama, primarily a defensive team, and he is an offensive mind. So I need to see how this works. I need to see if Milroe is going to take that next jump. I need to see if the losses that they've incurred here, or if there's going to be adequate replacements in the shoes. If we're going to run through this thing again where it's like we have Bryce Young, but our pass catchers are dropping balls, they can't get open, this isn't going to work. Like, this is just not going to work. I don't care how talented some of these guys may be. You have to be able to make it work. If they can't make it work, it'll be pretty obvious early on. I'm not expecting DeBoer to be Nick Saban. I'm going to temper my expectations as an Alabama fan. I'm optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
But at the current state, they have a new coach, new system. a lot of turnover with players. You know, you lose downs and everything. So, like, let's just take a step back.
Okay.
Say they're middle of the road right now. They only have the chance to really go up. If they go down, we have bigger fish to fry.
Yeah. Okay. There's going to be a lot of conversation if Alabama misses the playoffs.
Yeah. Okay. We only have 2 minutes left. So, really quickly, you're number 12.
Liberty.
That's crazy.
How is that crazy?
That's crazy.
Because you have to have a group of five team in there. It's the requirement.
I mean, sure. Is there, like, I'm trying to think who else is in, like.
I mean, did we not just see what Liberty did with their season? They went undefeated, won the conference championship, and then, you know, they ran to Oregon, of course, at the Fiesta Bowl. And then Caden Salter, originally he was going to transfer, and then he recommitted, so he's coming back. Liberty's going to reload with Caden Salter. Yeah, give me a Liberty.
You know, I'm trying to look at the CUSA here because I can't for the life of me remember who any of the teams are.
They stink. I'll just tell you that.
What?
CUSA stinks. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I mean, so wait, we're giving the bid to CUSA instead of AAC?
Just the best group of five champion. I mean, it's like if Liberty goes undefeated.
Yeah, quite frankly, I'm not moved by that. I'm going with the AAC, man. I'm not messing with CUSA. Okay.
Okay.
But my pick out of the AAC, give me the UTSA Roadrunners.
Whoa.
Okay. Complete dark horse, okay? You know, we're just throwing, at this point, we're at CUSA, AAC, we're just throwing crap at the wall and seeing what sticks, okay? I have no basis for this. I think both of these are a crapshoot, okay? Both of these conferences are a complete crapshoot. I just think UTSA,
okay,
they've kind of risen up as of late, okay? Let's give them a shot to win it, okay?
Sure. I mean, Jeff Traill is a great coach.
He's a great coach. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even A&M was considering hiring them.
Yeah.
Hiring him as their coach. So clearly he's doing something right. I understand that he's a good old boy,
although,
Texas boy.
I think they're finally, like, their quarterback that have been there for, like, 6 years. I think he's finally gone.
Okay. Get some young blood in there.
Okay.
I don't need a dinosaur in there, man.
Okay.
Okay. So UTSA, number 12, okay? You booked that one too, okay?
Okay.
Kansas Jayhawks at 6, UTSA at 12. If one of those hits, if either one of those are in the top 12, okay, there's a lot of people out there who owe me a lot of money on the bets that they just placed.
Okay.
Okay? That's all I'm saying. Anyway, thank you so much. You've been listening to 90.7, the Student Section College Football. Good night, Tri-State area. I'm your host, Elliot Miller. That's my co-host, Grant Bacco.
Yes, sir.
Wishing you a good night.